Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Probable Cause and Retaliatory Arrest Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On May 28, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Nieves v. Bartlett, a case that considers the conditions a plaintiff must meet to prevail on a claim of retaliatory arrest by law enforcement. State troopers Luis Nieves and Bryce Waite arrested Russell Bartlett during the 2014 Arctic Man Winter Sports Festival held in Alaska's Hoodoo Mountains. According to the officers, an apparently intoxicated Bartlett started yelling at Sergeant Nieves when the latter asked partygoers to move a beer keg to make it less accessible to minors. Several minutes later, when Trooper Waite asked a minor whether the minor and underage friends had been drinking, Bartlett approached, inserted himself between Waite and the minor, and yelled that Waite should not speak with the minor. Waite contends Bartlett then approached him combatively, and Waite pushed him back. Sergeant Nieves, seeing the altercation, hurried over and arrested Bartlett. When Bartlett was slow to comply, the officers forced him to the ground. Bartlett denies being aggressive and contends that after he was handcuffed, Nieves said, quote, "Bet you wish you would have talked to me now." Although Bartlett was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, the state ultimately dismissed the criminal charges against him. Bartlett then sued the officers in federal district court under U.S. Code 42, Section 1983. Alleging that they had arrested him in retaliation for his speech, therefore violating his First Amendment rights. The court granted judgment in favor of the officers, concluding that they had probable cause to arrest Bartlett and that the existence of probable cause necessarily defeated Bartlett's retaliation claim. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed, however, arguing that even in the face of probable cause, a claim of retaliatory arrest can prevail where the officer's conduct would chill a person of ordinary firmness from First Amendment activity, and where the desire to chill speech was a but-for cause of the arrest. The U.S. Supreme Court then granted cert to clarify the applicable legal standard. By a vote of 6-3, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Ninth Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held that the existence of probable cause defeats a claim of retaliatory arrest as a matter of law, unless the plaintiff presents objective evidence that he was arrested when otherwise similarly situated individuals not engaged in the same sort of protected speech had not been. The Chief Justice's majority opinion was joined by Justices Breyer, Alito, Kagan, and Kavanaugh in full, and by Justice Thomas, except as to Part 2D. Justice Thomas also filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment. Justice Gorsuch filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part. Justice Ginsburg filed an opinion concurring in the judgment in part and dissenting in part. Justice Sotomayor also dissented. And now, to discuss the case, we have Lisa Saronin, Executive Director of the State and Local Legal Center.
So Bartlett's argument is essentially that he wasn't arrested for his misbehavior. Instead, he was arrested for not talking to a police officer, and he had a right in this situation not to talk to a police officer. So how did the court come to the conclusion that where there is probable cause to arrest someone, they can't bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim? Well, the court began its analysis by noting that, in general, the First Amendment prohibits government officials from retaliating against people based on their speech. But the Chief Justice quickly pointed out that in retaliation cases, the rule may be different because, or at least in retaliation cases where it's difficult to prove causation, the rule may be different. And proving causation in First Amendment retaliatory arrest claims is just the nature of the beast. So the real question in this case, from a legal perspective, was whether the court was going to extend the holding of Hartman versus Moore to the retaliatory arrest claim. And the short answer is the court did. In Hartman versus Moore, the court held that to bring a retaliatory prosecution claim, a plaintiff must show there was no probable cause to prosecute him or her. Now, in retaliatory prosecution cases, causation is really tricky because in most cases, it's not the prosecutor who's likely to be retaliating. The retaliator is usually a police officer who convinces a prosecutor to bring the case. The court agreed with Officer Neves that the causal complexities in retaliatory arrest claims are similar enough to those in retaliatory prosecution claims that retaliatory arrest claims should only be brought if there is no probable cause to make an arrest. The court noted that it can be hard to determine the cause of an arrest because almost all arrests involve some amount of speech. And speech can be a legitimate factor in determining whether or not someone should get arrested. The court noted that police often have to make split-second judgments, and they're listening to a person's speech to determine whether they're likely to cooperate or whether they present a continuing threat. Now, the court does admit that retaliatory arrests and retaliatory prosecutions are different. The court says, and I quote, "Unlike retaliatory prosecution cases, retaliatory arrest cases do not implicate the presumption of prosecutional regularity or necessarily involve multiple government actors, although this case did. But regardless of the source of the causal complexity, the ultimate problem remains the same. For both claims, it is particularly difficult to determine whether the adverse government action was caused by the officer's malice or the plaintiff's potentially criminal conduct." The court also looked to common law to reach the decision in this case. So Bartlett was suing Officer Neves under Section 1983, which makes government officials personally liable for money damages when they violate someone's constitutional rights. When Section 1983 was enacted in 1871, there was no common law tort for retaliatory arrest based on protected speech. So the closest analogy was false arrest or malicious prosecution. But to bring a false arrest or a malicious prosecution claim, the plaintiff must show an absence of probable cause. This indicates that the presence of probable cause should generally defeat a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim. Now, there is a big caveat in this case. How big the caveat is, we don't really know yet. And based on the oral argument, the caveat was certainly for Justice Breyer, but it had to have been for another justice as well, probably Justice Kagan. So here's the caveat. If an officer has probable cause to arrest someone, and in fact arrests them, but the officer typically would exercise their discretion and not arrest the person, that person can bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim. As the court points out, these days you can get arrested for just about anything. The court uses jaywalking as an example, saying, and I quote, "If an individual who has been vocally complaining about the police conduct is arrested for jaywalking at such an intersection, it would seem insufficiently protective of First Amendment rights to dismiss that individual's retaliatory arrest claim on the grounds there was undoubted probable cause for the arrest. In such a case, because probable cause does little to prove or disprove the causal connection between animus and injury, applying Hartman's rule would come at the expense of Hartman's logic." So Bartlett loses in this case. There is plenty of probable cause to arrest him. He was drinking, he was talking loudly, he was standing so close to another officer that the officer felt he had to push him away. So that formed the probable cause to arrest him. Now, there are a lot of opinions in this case. Justice Thomas writes a concurring opinion, Justice Gorsuch concurs and dissents, as does Justice Ginsburg in a separate opinion. And finally, Justice Sotomayor dissents alone. So Justice Thomas joins all the court's opinion except for the caveat that I just mentioned. According to Justice Thomas, this narrow qualification has no basis in the common law or the court's First Amendment precedents. Justice Gorsuch would hold, as the majority does, that the absence of probable cause is not an absolute requirement of the First Amendment or of a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim, and that its presence is not an absolute defense. Justice Gorsuch's bottom line is this: if the First Amendment is violated, it is violated. He says the court has no legitimate basis for crafting a no probable cause requirement onto a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim. He does think, though, causation does, or that probable cause matters, rather, to causation. He says, for example, if an arrest was for something very minor, it's likely that a jury would say that the speech was the real cause, not the minor violation. I think what's interesting about Justice Gorsuch's opinion and his stance in the case is that it highlights the differences between Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch that many legal commentators have noted in the last year. Justice Kavanaugh has a reputation, or has developed a reputation, for being more pragmatic. And he joins Justice Roberts' opinion in this case, which you could say is fairly pragmatic. I think Justice Gorsuch's opinion is intellectually appealing, but it's difficult to apply his opinion because it isn't a bright line rule. So Justice Ginsburg cites to a number of cases where it looks like police officers went after a journalist after they spoke negatively about the police. Her bottom line is that if a failure to show lack of probable cause defeats affirmative retaliatory arrest claims, only entirely baseless arrests will be checked. Justice Sotomayor dissents. She thinks that the court should evaluate First Amendment retaliatory arrest claims in the same manner in which they evaluate other First Amendment retaliation claims. Her bottom line is court should determine if speech was the real reason for the arrest or not. So one of the most interesting things about this case is that it took the Supreme Court three cases and almost a decade to decide the issue in this case. So in Reichel versus Howards, the Supreme Court granted qualified immunity to officers who arrested Stephen Howards, who criticized Dick Cheney and then lied to the officers about touching the vice president. Then last term in Lozman versus City of Riviera Beach, the Supreme Court held that Fain Lozman, and only Fain Lozman, could bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim against the City of Riviera Beach because he alleged he wasn't allowed to speak at a city council meeting, not because he was violating the rules, but because he had previously criticized the city council. The court pointed out in that decision that it wasn't a typical First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim involving a police officer. So again, why did it take so long for the court to decide this issue? I think it's because all the justices love the First Amendment, without exception. And most of the justices love police officers, or at least they understand that the role of an officer is difficult, and they don't want to make it any more difficult through any of their rulings. And so this case brings the police and the First Amendment sort of, you know, together in a difficult dilemma for justices who feel strongly about both officers and the First Amendment. I don't think it's any coincidence that the justice least sympathetic to the police, Justice Sotomayor, is the dissenting justice. So the winner in this case, I think there's actually two winners. The obvious winner is, of course, the police. But I think lawyers are a winner as well. Only time will tell how many arrestees will argue that no one would ever be arrested in their shoes, for example, jaywalking, disorderly conduct, loitering, and that they, in fact, were arrested because of their speech. But again, only time will tell.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.